Today happens to be the last Sunday in the month of March. Yes. And this month we've been looking at the whole concept about fruitfulness. And talking about fruitfulness, one of the things that God said concerning man from the get-go, he blessed man and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fruitfulness is embedded already within you and I. But in working out what God has placed in us is what makes it beneficial to you and I. And my prayer is that you will not die with God's blessing in you in Jesus' name. Rather, you shall live to declare God's glory in your life in the name of Jesus. As this month comes to a close, there's equally a need for you and I to take an assessment of where we are in this journey with our Maker. This month also in Sunday school about the whole concept of our faith, revisiting the whole idea of the foundation of our faith. Now, where we lack understanding of the basic building blocks of what we're doing, there's every likelihood when challenges come, will come, and they do come, we'll fall flat on our faces. But then, when we have a proper understanding of what it is, it's easy for us to deal when it comes. And my prayer is that none of us shall be found wanting, even in that place, in the name of Jesus. This morning, I just want to share a message with you. It's called hope. Everybody say hope. It's a message of hope. And let me put it this way to you. There are two types of messengers in the world. Two types. One messenger, and just like we use the word messenger, not in a derogatory way, but in the actual sense, a messenger is somebody that delivers a message from one person to another person. And, pardon me for a minute. Excuse me. The people at the back row. Hello. Sir, do you mind if you move this way? All right, Shay, please move this way. So that those who are coming in later will not walk across the church. We're still a work in progress concerning ushering, and God will help us indeed in Jesus' name. Great. So that way, those who are coming in will not distract us. You're here early enough, so take center stage. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Now, we are talking about that messenger, like I said. A messenger will take a message from one person to another person. Now, one type of messenger will basically do that. You're given a message. All you do is just to take it from the sender, deliver it to the receiver. The content of it is not your business. Just deliver the message. A godly messenger, on the other hand, it's slightly different from an earthly messenger. A godly messenger will take the message from God, dare to read the message, and then deliver the message to the recipient. And while he or she is delivering that message to the recipient, he uses that message to do a quick check on himself or herself. Because knowing fully well that whatever is in that message is the Word of God. And the Word of God is not a respecter of persons. As long as you follow the principle in the message, it's going to be beneficial to you. So when you look at the messengers of God in the scripture, many of them, they do not just deliver the message to the people, but they also assimilate the message. If the message is going to be grievous to the people, like Moses, he began to beg God and say, God, you can't do that. What do you mean? That should not be the case. So, for you and I, we are like godly messengers. And likewise for me, why I'm saying all of this is, probably this is not for anybody. Maybe it's just for me. But at the same time, it could be for one or two people in the house. So, regardless of how it goes, I want you to just open your hearing that you may hear what God is saying to you and I today. My prayer is that hope will be rekindled in everybody here in the name of Jesus. The month of April is the month of hope. Everybody say hope. The theme for April is hope. Say hope again. Now, this is just to prepare us for April. So we will begin to reset our minds, knowing full well that hope lost will not only be found, but shall be fully restored and manifested in the name of Jesus. I'd like you to turn your Bibles with me to the book of Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter 10, I read from verse 46 through 52. Mark chapter 10, from verse 46 through 52. And I read, and they came to Jericho, and as he, talking about Jesus, went through Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. There's somebody here this morning who's crying out to Jesus. Today, not only will he hear you, but he will stand still on your behalf in Jesus' name. And commanded that he may be called. And they called the blind man and said unto him, be of comfort, rise. He called thee. Verse 50. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. And verse 51 said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said to him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately, everybody say immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Father, your word is hope. As we speak, as we hear by your spirit, let the faith arise in us that we might be partakers of the word. Thank you for the faith that we have. Thank you, so it will be mixed with your word. And indeed, we shall profit from it. Thank you, Father Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. You see, each one of us will approach a new problem, a new opportunity, a new task, a new challenge with a particular outlook. Now, the outlook could range from very positive, hopeful spirit to a very negative and hopeless stance. Outlook is talking about the way you see it. Now, there's also what we call the reality of things. When we're talking about reality concerning that new task, that new problem, that new challenge, that new opportunity, we're saying reality means the state of things as they are. Not the way you want it to be, not even the way you imagine it to be, but it is as it is, truthfully. That's what we call reality. So when there's a new challenge, a new opportunity, the way you view it versus or plots the reality of how it begins to play on what we call hope. You have hope when you are convinced that what is in front of you, no matter what it is, the end of it is going to be great and successful for you. You have hope. And when you are doing things to improve your future, even though you fear the worst, but somehow within you, you are expecting the very best. You are talking about having hope. So when we are talking about hope here, there is your outlook of things and the reality of the things that are before you. The two of them working together was what comes about the whole concept about hope. Now in the church, we talk about your belief. We talk about hope. We talk about faith. You cannot talk about one without talking about the other one. Because somehow they are all joined together. Now when we talk about belief, belief is simply saying that what you've accepted to be true to you. Now whether it's right or wrong, whether it's true or false, your belief in it makes it right. Am I making any sense? That you believe in it to you, in your own reality, it is true. Now, whether it's right or wrong is not what's important. But for you, the importance is your belief in it. Now, when we're talking about your hope, hope is saying that in or despite what I believe to be true, I am believing that this thing that is true before me will change into what I imagine it to be or what I desire for it to be. That is hope. Now, faith is the vehicle that takes you from what you believe now to be true to what you hope for. The Bible says faith is the substance of what you believe. Am I right? No, I'm not right. Faith is what? The substance of what? The things hoped for. You don't read your Bible anymore. Faith, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, says hope is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Now, hope, when we say faith is the substance of what you hope for, your hope is your destination. Your belief is where you are right now. And what takes you from where you believe to where you hope in is your faith. So having faith is saying, I do not just believe in what I'm hoping for, I equally acknowledge the reality of things right now, but I will do something to take me to where I want to be. Am I making sense to anybody here? So that you believe, you are right. That you're hoping for it, you are equally right. But the only way you can get from where you are to where you're going is to apply faith in itself. Like we did in Sunday school this morning, the message I was preached to them is the same message that we're hearing today, but it did not profit them just for one reason, because the word was not mixed with faith in them. James said, show me your faith without your works. I will show my works by faith. So when we're talking about faith, it's doing something to move from where you are, even though there is a consciousness of it will get worse, but there's a high expectation as to get right. Am I making any sense to anybody here this morning? I'm talking about hope. And it is having a proper understanding of your hope without mixing up things that can get you to where you're going. You see, that we have faith in God is one thing. But to allow the faith to work in us to get us there is another thing. At the midweek meetings, we were talking about authority and power. And for those who came, I hope you understand what we've been doing so far. You see, it's one thing to have the power of God with you. It's another thing to know how to exercise the authority of the power that you have within you. But the problem with us as sons and daughters of God is that we don't even know the power that we have. Even though we read, greater is he that's within me than he that's out there in the world. But we do not even have an understanding of who is within us. And then when you say you have one within you, a whole ministry will tell you you have a demon, let's cast it out of you. Right? Hey, you have a demon, hey, cast it out, cast it out. But there's greatness within you already. It's for you to have an appreciation of what is in you, which is great already, and stop saying to yourself that you have a demon within you. Demon, where have? Or don't you know that if any man be in Christ, a new creature? You are not aware that once you come to Christ, all demons, they flee from you? Or you don't know that the anointing of God is upon your life? Don't let anybody lie to you. Come to Jesus as you are, the demons will flee from you. And if you're talking about Jesus casting out demons, those people didn't know Jesus. But the moment they knew Jesus, there was no way demons could get back into them. Because they were anointed, sanctified, and justified by Christ Jesus. Once again, I remind everybody in the house this morning, you're full of power. You're full of grace. You're anointed by the Almighty God. No demon in hell, no devil is their boss, can do anything to you. And even if you succeed, God wants to tell you and teach you something about the greatness that lies within you. It's because you're not aware that build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Understand what that means. It's saying in the process of building up your most holy faith, hell will come against you, but it will not prevail over you. And that should give you confidence that let it come. I know that if God be for me, who can be again? For those of us that grew up not being troublemakers like me, I don't look for trouble. With those who are older than me, they beat me up. I go to my cousins who have big chests. I say, Charles, beat me up. I come back with my three brothers. And I say, Charles, touch me again. And Charles say, say, yeah, good one, slap you. You know why Charles is not doing anything? It's because of my big brother behind me. It's not me he's afraid of, it's just the guy behind me. But woe be unto me if I leave the house without my big brother. Charles will be waiting for me, not your own Charles. He'll be waiting for me. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. Okay, many of you never got into trouble. But for those who got into trouble, you know how it is now. When you have someone that is bigger than you and goes to a fight, they're not fighting because of you. There's a guy behind you because they know you're dead there. It's the same thing with God. Anyway, we'll talk more about all of these things next month by His grace. Now, this is the thing about hope. Get into the place of hope. When we're facing challenges, opportunities, whatever it is, away. See, the more you get involved in that which is before you, the more you have knowledge of it, the more you understand the kind of problems that are in front of you. Now, there's something we call opinion. When we talk about an opinion is a belief, a judgment about something, okay, which might not necessarily be true. It's just an opinion. It's just what you believe, right? I spoke about belief earlier on. It can also use the word opinion for belief. It's just what you believe to be true. Now, care needs to be taken about other people's opinion. Other people's opinion is their own belief. To them, it's true. It does not necessarily mean it is true for you or false for you, but it's just their own opinion. Now, talking about opinion, other people's opinion, or even your own opinion, can lead to one or four things concerning hope. Other people's opinion could lead you to the place of hopelessness. Other people's opinion could lead you to the place of false hope. Other people's opinion could lead you to the place of losing hope. An opinion, as your belief, can lead you to the place of real hope. Now, what do we mean by hopelessness? What do we mean by false hope? What do we mean by lost hope? What do we mean by real hope? Now remember, hope is where you want to get to. And when we're talking about hope, you will remember, I say this and I say it again, when you're talking about hope, there is an outlook you have. It could be negative, it could be positive. There is reality, that is, what is in front of you, as it is. Those two things determine where your hope will go. So, when we're talking about hopelessness, let me use an example of this. All due respect to everybody in the house. Imagine somebody who is in the process of finding a partner, a spouse. Hopelessness is simply saying when your outlook, the way you see it, is extremely negative, and then at the same time, your reality, the reality of things around you is distorted. In other words, it's blurry. It's not even real. When your outlook, the way you view it, is negative, plus the reality in front of you is also negative, or you perceive to be negative, you become hopeless. It's simply saying, based on what you hear, based on what you see, you create a reality that it is impossible. Now, that marriages are crashing does not mean marriages are not succeeding. Am I making sense to you? For someone who doesn't have the spouse, there's too many people having divorce now. Marriage is difficult. I won't do that. Blah, blah, blah. Already, your reality is that you're viewing a distorted reality of divorces, and you miss out on the ones that are succeeding, and you make that your center focus. So the way you are looking at things and the reality that is in front of you that you are focused on tells you it is hopeless. Don't bother to get married. And the moment your outlook and your reality are both negative, you enter the state of hopelessness. How about false hope? False hope is simply saying that your outlook is accurate. You have this unshakable faith that everything is going to work out well for me. And because I know that everything will work out well for me, I don't need to know anything else. Because I know God will do it for me. And indeed, God will do it for you in Jesus' name. However, in that whole idea that God will do it, I know you will do it, you leave out what you yourself ought to be doing. Now, because your reality is distorted and you bring nothing, remember, hope is from what you believe to where you want to go, and faith is doing something. Even though you have the faith that God can do it, but you are doing absolutely nothing. You pray and you pray some more. Keep praying. Well, you see, the issue is, are you aware that an acorn seed is what becomes an oak tree? Are you aware of that? I mean, you don't know. Alright. You know what they call a local tree? It's the same as oak tree. Right? The seed is small, but the tree that comes out of it is huge. Now, this is the issue. You have faith that God will give you an iroko tree. God will give you an oak tree. And you are bouncing up and down because I know God knows what is good for me, blah, 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 blah. But the reality is that God brings a little acorn to you. And you reject that. No, this is what I'm asking God to do. It's something big. And God's like, what's the matter with this one? You said you wanted an oak tree. I've brought you a little acorn that will become that. But you lose out on the whole idea of understanding what God wants to do. And the process, because you have the strong faith, but your reality is distorted, is not good enough, you miss out on the process of growing an acorn seed to become a big tree. I have a quick assignment for you. For those who are single in the house, I want you to please do this for yourself and for me. And for those who are married to you, if you feel like, go ahead and do it. Listen to this. How to grow an acorn seed into an oak tree. Say that with me. How to grow an acorn seed to an oak tree. I want you to Google it and go and see how it goes. Now, what am I saying here? If you can, I really encourage you. It should take around 30 minutes. Just read about making an oak tree from an acorn seed and see what it goes through. What does this mean? If you understand what God is doing, God is saying that rather than waiting for a well-made tree, you can see that you will cultivate and grow together with it to become what you want it to be. Many of you are aware of this now. Well, I hope so. Maybe the other people know this. If you decide that you want to marry a self-made person, doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman, and the person has everything together, and get married to the person, what did you contribute to the person's success? What did you contribute to the person's success? Nothing. So you did not add any value to the person's life. You only came to enjoy it. Now, if you leave the person alone, what difference does it make to the person? You may not realize, but nothing. You did not contribute a thing to his life or her life. So when you leave, it's more like trouble has left my life. So if you're saying you want an oak tree, this is the thing you don't understand. When you are gone, there are many others that want to come in. And I assure you, if before they carry your load out, new load will come in. But it's important you have an understanding of what is going here. So when you have this false hope, so you have an outlook of it can be okay. But when you see the reality of things, you overlook it and you don't realize that you can change that reality based on what you know. Moving on, there's also the one about the lost. So there is hopelessness, there's false hope, and the lost hope. When we're talking about lost hope, it's simply saying that your outlook is negative. The way you see things is negative. But the reality of things happens to be accurate. In other words, what you see in front of you, it is real, it is true. But the way you see it is negative. I'm talking about good for a spouse. So in other words, you're saying, when you begin to doubt yourself, you begin to speak words to yourself that will not make you make any progress. When you say, maybe I'm too old, maybe I'm too young, maybe this, maybe that. And you begin to destroy your own confidence. You become discouraged and you just simply give up on even trying. When you begin to listen to other people's ideas on how to get this thing going, and yet you try it and it doesn't work for you, you begin to say, maybe this is not for me. Actually, a litmus test of knowing that you are in a place of lost hope is when you forget about that and focus on something so much that you miss out on that area of life. At this time, God, I talk to most of the people here, they've not lost hope, and your hope shall not be lost indeed in Jesus' name. Do you know, when you have the wrong opinion running through your mind, it has a way of destroying you. Let me digress a little bit. And let's be honest with ourselves. When a young lady uses makeup, is she pretty? Seriously, when a young lady uses makeup appropriately, is she pretty? Yes, now, don't be afraid, but in short, what? Are you afraid? Yeah. When the same makeup that the young lady uses, if an older lady uses the same makeup, is she pretty? No. And I tell you why it's no. Now, listen to me. Just be careful. When I say older lady, the same makeup a young girl uses and enhances her beauty. When somebody who is older does the same thing, you look at her and you say, leave this for your children now. What's the matter with you? Leave that for your children. You can age gracefully. And think about it really. The problem with us, and that's where we have upside down thinking, and that's where people lose hope in this, is that what may be right for one may not be right for you. Your outlook when you're younger is not the same outlook when you get older. It's still talking about the same makeup thing. For the younger, they can play all kind of tricks with their face and we have a good laugh. When you're older, we'll be laughing at you, not with you. It's the same thing about dressing. When you're young, there's a way you dress, nobody's going to complain. When you're older and you're doing the same as those young ones, you say, leave this for your children now. What are you doing? But it's just the way of things. I'll talk more about this in the new month. But remember, lost hope comes when your outlook is self-defeating, but the reality is accurate. Things are difficult. Yes, it is bad. Yes, there are no men. Yes, there are no women. But you forget the whole idea that God can relocate and can do all kinds of strange things to make things work. But when we're talking about having real hope is simply saying that your outlook is positive and your reality is accurate, and you're saying that I know that one way or the other, despite the challenges in front of me, I will make it there. Real hope is saying that my outlook is saying with Christ, I can do all things. Even though you acknowledge there are challenges in front of you, but you are willing to say, I'll do whatever I need to do to overcome this, because I know in Christ Jesus, I will overcome. And you're willing to learn. You're willing to do whatever you need to do to get this going. We're encouraged when our outlook improves as we learn more about the situation. We're discouraged when our outlook becomes less hopeful when we learn more about the situation. When you learn about your situation and you see something positive in it and you learn a new way of doing things, encouragement will come. When you look at the situation in front of you and you lose hope and say, it's not possible, you become seriously discouraged. Bartimaeus had hope. His outlook was that he could receive his sight again. And so, while they sat down begging by the roadside, he heard that it was Jesus going by. Because of the crowd, it could have been an opportunity for him to make loads of money. But somehow, a blind man who had never seen Jesus heard about Jesus. And somehow within him, when opportunity came that his life would transform, guess what he did? He began to shout out. Even not knowing the location of Jesus, just hearing that Jesus was going through, his outlook began to kick in. That I received my sight and began to do something about it. The people around him said, keep quiet, you're making too much noise. What does the guy do? He shouted some more. His reality around him said, keep quiet. You can't do this. You are too blind for your sight to recover. But his outlook was so intense that he kept on shouting. And when Jesus heard him, Jesus stood still and said, bring him here. But you know the strange thing? His reality in itself. Suddenly, his reality in itself changed. That the same reality that said, keep quiet, suddenly said, he wants you. Now, this is a lesson that I want you to have an understanding in. For him, the whole outlook that he had was that I can be better. He did what he had to do. Even though the initial reality was that it's impossible. But because he was persistent, because he was earnest, because of his humility, I said, this will not pass me by. He kept on doing what he was doing, and suddenly his hopeless situation became a hopeful situation. And the moment that happened, his life was transformed. This morning, let me speak, as I believe God has spoken to my own heart, concerning those who are harboring false hope, those who have lost hope. Say to them, your hope can be restored now. And how can it be restored? Be sure that your outlook is on point, and acknowledge the reality of things. But this one thing I'm understanding, the way you view things, as you begin to look at it, so shall it be unto you. If you look at it and say it's impossible, it will remain impossible. If your look to it is that it will not happen, it will not happen. If you say it's impossible, believe me, nothing will make it possible. To others in my work, to you, it will not work. When you're stuck in false belief, when you're stuck with lack of understanding of your faith, when things do not work the way they're supposed to work, you will blame God. You blame man. You blame everybody but yourself. I believe that where I've lost hope, and for those who have lost hope, because of what they're seeing for them, and they have worked hard. No, you have worked hard. You've done everything according to the book, but rather than it getting better, it only gets worse. I've come to say to you today, your soul will rise again. Where there exists a famine today, it shall become a place of surplus and abundance tomorrow in the name of Jesus. The hope that I have is this, and it's in Christ Jesus. That many are the affliction of righteous, but the Lord knows how to deliver them out of it all. The hope that I have is that God can make all things work together for my good. The belief that I have is that God is saying, you do something and I will bless what you're doing. Now, this is not to say, don't pray. Please pray. But after praying, do something. This is not to say, don't trust God. After trusting God, exercise your trust by the things that you do. You want peace? Pursue peace. You want mercy? Pursue it. You want a partner? Pursue the partner. With understanding, I mean. But the bottom line is this. There are rules that keep you down. But the love of Jesus sets you free. You can keep on looking at those who are failing and say it's impossible. But let me guarantee you, there are those who are succeeding at it. You are looking at people who have been married for the past 10 years and they are divorced. But you can even look at those who have been married for over 20 years. I believe in May, which I still don't believe is true. Just right now, I'm 22. I'm saying, wait a minute. Why is it that when Dotsu goes out with the boys, they ask her, are those your brothers? They say, no, my son. They say, really? And then when they're looking at me, they're looking as if I'm a cradle snatcher. They say, no, she's old. Won't tell you her age. She's looking younger. Oh, God. So the bottom line is this. It's not looking at those who are failing that will give you hope. It's looking at those who are succeeding. Charles, there's been a bed of roses since you've been married. Are you lying? Married for over 23 years? 24? You're blind to me. You're going to pick out. We are in it together. Are you? We are in it together. Divorce, where? It's not because God says, well, you just realize that, well, what you have said, I love you. I can't say I don't love you anymore. I still love you. Even though you give me a headache, but I still love you. That's the whole idea. If anybody is, you see, let me close with this. I don't know why I'm talking to my sisters, my brothers, who are trusting God for lifetime partners. Today, marriage is contract. Yesterday, it used to be called a covenant. The difference between a contract and a covenant is this. A contract is saying that if anybody violates this contract, this is what will happen. In a covenant, you say if anybody does whatever it is, you praise God, or you see me together. And what keeps us going is that yes, we make mistakes, we mess around, we do all kinds of strange things, but at the end of the day, it does we scratch our head and say, you know what, I need to work this thing out. And what is making those marriages that you're looking at fail today is because it is not from the place of for better for worse. It's for richer and richer, for better and better, till death set us apart. Like I said, I'll talk about this next week because it is a problem in the church. We have some strange ideas concerning this whole concept, and many people are being held back unnecessarily. So today, I want us to have an understanding. Be like Bartimaeus. I spend more time talking about it because I need us to begin to get back to the place of hope. Don't be in the church and have all this faith and you do not even know what to do with the faith. Don't remain in the church, having done all you can do, and yet you don't get the results and you're giving up and you're discouraged. Yes, you will be discouraged, but it's time for you to be revived once again. It's time for you to begin to eat from the tree of life. It's time for you to begin to change what needs to be changed. It's time for your hope to be rekindled once again. And I believe that God will help us indeed in the name of Jesus. My hope, and I mean this, my hope for myself, for you, is that what needs to be done will be done. The worst that will happen is that everything that needs to fall down will fall down, and everything that needs to stand will stand. My hope is that for each one of you, not only will you hear what God is doing, but you will be seen as what God has done to this world in Jesus' name. And I mean sons and daughters of God who are there to bring hope to the hopeless. I'm saying that you will be in the midst of people and wonder that how can you be happy when all of us appear to be sad. And you say to them, it's the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in my own eyes also. To the hopeless, you will find hope. to those who are harboring false hope due to the doctrines of the past and is not allowing you to be free, the word of Christ will set you free indeed in the name of Jesus. For those who have lost hope through discouragement, the joy of the Lord will bring you back to the place of courage in Jesus' name. And for those who have hope, your hope will not diminish, but rather it will be intact and God will bring you to that place that you want to be, that you need to be indeed in the name of Jesus. Can we pray? It's a simple prayer. Like I told you when I started, I don't even know, maybe it's not for you, maybe it's just for me. But one thing I'm certain about is this. Whoever has a hope in him, God will support. I'm almost certain about that one. No, I am certain about that one. What I'm not certain about is the timing of God. But one thing is certain, God's time is always the best time. Having faith that everything will work out for you at the end is great, but there should also be an acknowledgement of the reality of things right now. But be certain of this, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord knows how to deliver them out of everything. You can make it forward. You can make it there. You can ask God himself to renew your faith this morning. Talking about renewing faith is the courage to move on. It's the courage to press on. It's the courage to do what you have to do to get on to that place of hope. And if you're here this morning and your hope is totally lost, this is the time to call out to Jesus. This is not a religious exercise I'm calling you to, but it's a time for you to call out to Jesus. For he's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the one that has given you hope in the beginning, and it's time for you to be renewed again. Bartimaeus cried out and said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." His outlook was that, "I can do it now. This is my chance. I'm not going to miss this opportunity." Jesus is in the house this morning, my brothers and my sisters. Can you see him? Can you reach out to him? Can you call upon him? Yes, reality is grave. Yes, the reality is accurate. Yes, you're getting older and you're not getting younger. Yes, it seems as if time is passing you by. All those things are true. But do you know that he is the one that holds time and eternity in his hands? Are you even aware that he can still make things beautiful for you either way? Have you given up? This is the time for you to reach out to him. Please talk to him this morning and say, "I need my hope restored. I need hope restored. I need hope restored."